Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. The portion of God's word that we consider this evening is from the Gospel of Luke. And Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, returned from the Jordan and was led by the Spirit in the wilderness for 40 days, being tempted by the devil. Do you renounce the devil? Do you renounce all his works? Do you renounce all his ways? These questions are asked of every candidate who is brought forward for holy baptism. And the questions seem easy enough. After all, who would not want to renounce the prince of darkness? But the devil is cunning. As the creation account tells us, the serpent was more crafty than any other beast of the field that the Lord God had made. He doesn't come to us as the prince of darkness. Instead, he disguises his voice as the sweet voice of an angel. He uses the art of persuasion to bring people to his side. Even in cases where we hear about violent demonic possession, it always starts with a surrender of the will and the heart to Satan. Only then does he have any kind of power over an individual. Now, the temptations have not changed much since day one. From Adam to Christ to you and me tonight, the devil's game has been the same from the beginning. He wants to cause us to doubt God's word. And he started with God's very first prohibition. Did the Lord really say that you can't eat from the trees? And to make matters worse, the devil plays on our desires. Those things which we know we shouldn't do or think, the devil makes them seem desirable to us, like things that we would want to do. And then comes the lying. If you eat the fruit, you will be like God. You will not surely die. And we know how the account goes from there. Eve failed, Adam failed, every human being since has failed, giving victory after victory to the devil. Oh, we try our best to fight temptation, but Satan is very patient and very clever. Eventually, he breaks down our willpower. Eventually, he hijacks our emotions, taking advantage of the times when we're not thinking rationally and do something on impulse. He throws us into challenging situations, as he did to Job, hoping that he can bit by bit chip away at our faithfulness and obedience to God. So Satan tried the same game on Jesus. The Spirit led him into that howling wilderness for this very purpose. That confrontation was appointed by God. And the first thing the devil did was to call into question that which had been clearly made known at Jesus' baptism. The Father said, "This is my beloved Son." The devil said, "If you are the Son of God." And then we notice how the first two temptations take us back to Eden. That first temptation gets right to our creaturely need for food, for sustenance. Tell these stones to become bread. Kind of sounds like eat the fruit of the tree. And we remember how when Eve looked at the fruit of that tree, she saw that it was good for food. But Jesus resisted the tempter. That second temptation also brings us back to Eden. The devil offers Jesus dominion, authority over all of the kingdoms of the inhabited world under one condition. You bow down and worship me, and then I'll give it to you. May remind us of that other false promise that when you eat of it, you will be like God. You will have God's authority, and I'm the one who can give it to you. Finally, in the third temptation, the devil prompted Jesus to throw himself down from the top of the temple to test whether God would send his angels to protect him. But we know that Jesus' ultimate destiny was not to go into the protection of his Father's arms, but into the Father's wrath. See how in each temptation the devil tries to get Jesus to bypass the cross and to take hold of glory right now. And yet Jesus knew that on his path, suffering had to come before glory. And that's the same way it is for us. Those who seek to follow Jesus, we must pass through suffering before we can come to glory. In the garden, Adam failed. He ate the fruit. In the wilderness of Judea, though, where Adam failed, Jesus succeeded. Where Adam ate the fruit, Jesus said no. In their wilderness wanderings, the people of Israel failed. They bowed down and worshiped a golden calf. They put the Lord God to the test. But right where they failed, Jesus succeeded. And he said, I will not worship you, but God alone. And I will not put the Lord to the test. See, the main point here is not so much that we could follow Jesus' example and how to face temptation, although that's true. But the main point here is that Jesus beats the tempter. Where we've fallen to the devil's voice time and time again, Jesus has entered the battle for us, wielding for us the sword of the Spirit, that sharp and piercing word of God. And Jesus vanquished the devil. And when the devil had finally gone through his whole bag of tricks, Luke says he departed until an opportune time. See, the devil wasn't completely finished yet. That opportune time came at a very particular moment on a Wednesday, the day before the celebration of the Passover. And Luke tells us there that Satan entered into Judas, called Iscariot. That set into motion the great and final confrontation between the Son of God and the great adversary of mankind. That week, you can bet that Satan was using his voice, his angelic and sweet voice, to try to tempt Jesus and talk him out of it. To try to get him once again to bypass that cross and jump forward to glory. Oh, Jesus, why don't you command your angels to get you out of this arrest? You don't need to fall to these Roman soldiers. Oh, Jesus, you don't have to go to the cross. There must be another way. Jesus, just say that you're a fraud, and then Pontius Pilate will let you go. If you are the Son of God, come down from that cross and save yourself. But what Jesus told the tempter in the wilderness held true on that day too. The Lord your God you shall worship, and him only shall you serve. And so quietly and humbly, he carried his cross, spilled his blood, and breathed his last. And in that moment, he broke the devil's power over all mankind. And what happened on the third day after that proved it. Jesus wins. He didn't opt to save himself, but instead, he went through with his Father's plan. And he saved you and he saved me. Satan is defeated. But even in his defeat, Satan's voice can be dangerous for us. This reminds me of a moment in J.R.R. Tolkien's work, The Lord of the Rings. Bear with me. I know I'm a geek, and this is probably why I'm still single. Okay. But let me try to explain the scene to you. So here in the story, in Tolkien's world of Middle-earth, there are wizards. Okay, and at one point, all of the wizards were on the side of good. But one of the wizards named Saruman was tempted, and he joined forces with the Dark Lord Sauron. Okay, so what happened was Saruman, the wizard, was kind of like the devil. He had the power of a voice. His voice carried with it a powerful spell so that anyone who listened to him would be under the spell, would be allured and unable to resist listening to him. And so he used that power to recruit an army, and the bad guys started conquering the territories of some of the good guys. But then the good guys had on their side another wizard, a good guy named Gandalf. And to make a long story short, Gandalf and the good guys defeated the army of Saruman. But Saruman wasn't dead. He was defeated, but not dead. And he locked himself up in a tower and wouldn't come down. So Gandalf and a few friends went to see Saruman, and they wanted to give him one more chance to turn away from evil and turn back to the side of good and virtue. And when they got there, Saruman refused to come down from his fortress. Instead, he only spoke to them from up on a high balcony in the tower. And Gandalf offered him some mercy and said, "If you join us, we won't hold your sins against you." Saruman refused out of pride. He was disgusted and revolted at their offer of mercy. And I want to read you what happens next. I think this is a really great picture of the way Satan is in his defeat. Saruman turned and left the balcony. "Come back, Saruman," said Gandalf in a commanding voice. To the amazement of the others, Saruman turned again. As if dragged against his will, he came slowly back to the iron rail, leaning on it, breathing hard. His face was lined and shrunken. His hand clutched his heavy black staff like a claw. "I did not give you leave to go," said Gandalf sternly. "I have not finished. You have become a fool, Saruman, and yet pitiable. You might still have turned away from folly and evil and been of service, but you chose to stay and gnaw the ends of your old plots. Stay then, but I warn you, you will not easily come out again." "Saruman," he cried, and his voice grew in power and authority. "Behold, I am not Gandalf whom you betrayed. I am Gandalf who has returned from death." He raised his hand and spoke slowly in a clear, cold voice. "Saruman, your staff is broken." There was a crack, and the staff split asunder in Saruman's hand, and the head of it fell down at Gandalf's feet. This is how utterly the devil has been defeated. His power and his authority lie crushed under Jesus' feet. The devil has no choice but to obey when Jesus commands. Again, the point for us here is not how we can resist temptation, but how Jesus has defeated the tempter for us. Jesus wins. Jesus always wins. And his win is our win. Even though the devil's voice still possesses some power, some ability to manipulate us, his power is nothing. When the Son of God opens his mouth, the devil falls silent. As Luther's hymn puts it, "One little word can fell him." The devil's power is nothing compared to the power of our living, triumphant, victorious Lord. And even though the devil is allowed to stay among us and gnaw the ends of his old plots, he is crippled. He is defeated, and his time is limited. He knows that. The Father has a day already picked out in his planner when he's going to toss the devil and all his angels into the lake of fire so that we never have to listen to those vile voices again. So back to the question of our baptism. Do you renounce the devil? Baptismal water has made us one with Christ, the victor. And so standing firmly in our baptism and in Christ Jesus, we can respond confidently, "Yes, I renounce him." So I ask you, the baptized, once more tonight, do you renounce the devil?
Yes.
Do you renounce all his works?
Yes.
Do you renounce all his ways?
Yes.
Amen. May the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard our hearts and our minds in Christ Jesus. Amen. We stand to sing the offertory.